Goodness knows no end. The goodness of God, I mean, that song go on and on. It would, still wouldn't describe the goodness of God. There's no way we can. And that song, Holy Forever, when we sing it, I just see the throne. I see people standing and praising as far as the eye can see in all directions, just as far as the eye can see. And wow. Thank you, Lord, for music. Thank you for music, the way they can bring us closer to you, the way it can transport us at times and allow us to worship with things that words cannot. So today, may our worship be in spirit and truth as we gather to praise him. Let's start out with our readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Our second reading is from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, what but does nothing about their physical needs? What good is it? By the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Here ends the second lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at the home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and west, and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you once again for your word. We ask that it would speak to us anew, as only you can do, Lord, through the living word. That it would speak to our very hearts and our spirits, and that we would come away changed. Amen. Alrighty. Last week, we took a dive into righteousness, found out about being right, being righteous, and then having righteousness, something we can achieve only through God. Only through him can we be made righteous. We can't do it on our own. And we'd also learned that faith can be credited as righteousness. So there's this connection between righteousness and faith. They're intertwined at some deep level here. And that sort of led to today's topic of faith, something which, wow, we could do so many sermons on faith. There's so much to it. So what is faith? Well, if you're driving across a bridge, you have a measure of faith in the engineers that built it, the people that inspect it. Getting on an airplane, you have faith. Again, the people that design and build it, the people that maintain it, it's an act of faith to get on there. Driving out on the ice, require faith. And maybe the roads this morning required some faith as well. Okay. But we have faith, and we are here. So, yeah, there's that human definition of faith, but there's also that definition of faith, you know, with God and in God. It can't really put it into words so easily. There's like making a recipe, okay? There's a little bit of confidence put in there. We're going to add some trust to it, and we're going to put in a healthy amount of belief and stir it all together, and we're going to have what we would see as faith. It involves being confident, yes. It involves believing. It involves trusting. All of these things together are faith in God. And with that, we're able to step out in faith. We're able to live in faith and to walk in faith, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians. We see examples in the Bible way back. Abraham uprooting his whole family and moving to another country by faith. I sort of like where we live. Minnewaska Township, sort of home for me. And if God called, I guess we would uproot everything and move to some other place. But yeah, it takes some faith to do that. Not knowing what's going to be there or how you're going to get there. All things to be provided along the way. But Abraham had faith. Also the classic example of him with Isaac having the faith to up on Mount Moriah to be ready to sacrifice him. Incredible faith. And the Bible tells us in several places then that his faith was credited to him as righteousness. It was by faith he was saved. And we're also saved partly through faith. You know, it's by grace through faith, right, that we are saved. We have to have that faith. We're called to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, it's hard to prove the existence of God. I can't really do it scientifically. I'm used to things I can measure. You know, I can take so many grams of carbon, so many of, you know, antimony or something, and so many of hydrogen and maybe create something. I'm used to things that I can measure, things that I can observe in physics. With God, we don't see that. Well, shall we say direct evidence? We do see evidence of him absolutely everywhere. But it's not quantifiable. It's not something we can measure, that we can see, taste, touch, and feel, although you can sort of feel it in a different way, in the spirit, right? If we walk by sight, if we saw God all the time, and hey, how's it going, and you know, you have interaction with him directly, physically, wouldn't things be so much easier at times? But where would faith be then? Would faith even be required? Faith, again, very important to God. And walking in faith, trusting in him, having that confidence, having that belief. So the faith is a gift from God, and it can get you through things. A lot of you here, I'm sure, have got through things in the past through faith. By your faith, you got through things. It's something you can hold on to. And, you know, God's at the root of that. Of course, we're holding on to him as well. So, yeah, faith is something that, you know, in times of distress, it can certainly get you through things. It's good for that. But there's so much more for it. Another purpose is salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, again, we can't see God, right? And no one can look on him and live, of course, but yeah. You have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him, and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the end result of faith is then salvation. And again, feeling God's presence there, even though we can't see him directly, we can feel that presence. Faith is an experiential thing. It's something you have to really experience, that connection to God and that belief, then it becomes even stronger. Faith is something that can grow, right? It's like we've been given a little seed. And if we take care of it, if we water it, if we nurture it, if we cultivate it, if we fertilize it, we can grow our faith, of course. And that faith, again, can be, I don't know, it can help others. They see our faith. And you think of the guy that was lowered through the roof, right? It was the faith of his friends that got him healed. It was their faith. So faith can do things that we don't even realize or see there. But what does God say about faith? I guess that's what it comes down to. That's the important part, right? We can look at it from a human perspective. We can look at it in our life. But what does God say about it? Well, let's look at Hebrews today, like Gwen read. It said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Again, the words confidence and assurance. Faith is, that's part of it, a big part of it when we're mixing those things together. Confidence in what we hope for. Now, again, a biblical hope is a confident assurance. It's not, oh, I hope, you know, that this is going to happen, right? It's not that. It's an assured confidence. An assurance about what we do not see. We can't see God, of course, but we are assured that he is there. We have that faith. This is what the ancients were commended for. I already mentioned Abraham. Okay. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Alrighty. Science can only go so far in telling us where the matter and energy came from. Okay. It can't look at the source. My students sometimes might ask, you know, where'd all this matter come from? I'll tell them, well, science can't explain that one. You got to look somewhere else. They said, stop by Shalom some Sunday morning. I'll be happy to tell you about it, right? Okay. And everything coming out of nothingness? So we create a theory about a Big Bang to do that. The one thing I do like about the Big Bang is that there was nothing and then everything came into existence. It requires a moment of creation. It requires a moment of creation, which would require a creator as well, right? Now, there's an old joke about an atheist arguing with God about the origin of life, and the atheist saying, well, I know enough chemistry that I can take a handful of dirt. I know there's nitrogen in there. I know there's carbon in there. There's hydrogen. There's oxygen. There's everything I need for the fundamental building of just like one living cell. So he's challenged God, you know, to do this. And they're just about to start. And then God says, nope, wait a minute. Make your own dirt. Can't use mine. You can't create it out of nothing, right? It can't come out of nothingness. And the author of Hebrews is, you know, stating this as well. By faith, we understand the universe. Not just cells, but the entire universe was formed at God's command. He spoke it into existence, right? Spoke it into existence. So that what is seen, all the matter and energy around us, was not made out of what was visible. Created out of nothingness. Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool. Again, it mentions people in the Bible and examples of faith, Abel and Cain and their offerings. One was given in faith, it was from the heart. And again, that's what matters. And his offering was acceptable before God, right? Enoch is mentioned, was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. Alrighty? He could not be found because God had taken him away, but before he was taken, he was committed as one who pleased God. It's one who pleased God. How do we please God? Now, we can bring all kinds of gifts and offerings. We can give our praise. And all that's pleasant to God, right? It's pleasing. But what's at the faith of it? How do we please God? The answer in the next verse here. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without having faith in him, it's impossible to please him. So we can do all these works of man. We can bring all kinds of sacrifice. We can do all kinds of things. But if we don't do it in faith, it's not going to be pleasing to God. Faith is required. It's impossible without it. Required to please God. To have that faith in him. To have that trust in him. That belief in him. Who we cannot see. But yet whom we know. And who we can experience. Because Many times, the things of God are things that you experience. You just get this feeling, you just know, and it just fills you, right? And faith is tied right in with that as well. So again, not a physical thing that we can quantify, that we can measure. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. Must believe that he exists, yes, there is a God, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I don't know, the people that don't believe there's a God, I guess I'd like to have a lengthy conversation with them. Try to understand where they're coming from. Maybe I'll get that opportunity someday. Most people I know believe, at least believe in a God or some sort of God or higher power. But maybe I'll get that opportunity someday. And if you're watching out there and you don't believe in God, hey, stop by the office, okay? Because there's so much I want to learn from your point of view. I would like to see how you think and what you do believe. Alrighty, and as it said, some people say there's takes more faith to believe in evolution and such than it does in creation. That everything just randomly happened and came into order somehow, okay? But a conversation I'd love to have. All right, everyone must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. To be rewarded by God. Now, we don't do good things to earn something, to be rewarded. That's not the point. It's just sort of a byproduct. We have faith in him. We do things to please him. And as a result, we get the reward, but we're not doing it for the reward. The motive matters. The motive matters. We're not trying to earn anything, of course. But to have God's recognition, to have him reward us. It's nice to get recognition from humans. You know, you get a nice compliment that was well earned or something like that, and genuine and authentic, that's great. But to get that from God, how much better? How much better? So he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And it's got to be earnestly, it's got to be from the heart. It has to be genuine and authentic is sort of the key here. And he knows the heart. Of course, he sees the heart. But it has to be genuine and authentic. It can't just be words. And that's what we saw in the gospel today, where we had the centurion servant. The centurion is coming to Jesus in a genuine way. He's genuinely asking. He recognizes Jesus' authority. It's very clear here. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Now, Jesus was often surrounded by a crowd of people. Maybe he found him alone, but I like to think of it as like this crowd of people, and all of a sudden the centurion comes. If a Roman soldier comes through, people made way. I mean, they step aside. That's a big deal. And if it's a centurion, this is a captain. He's in charge of 100 men. He's got power. He's got authority. And people would definitely be making a way, opening up for him. Centurion came to him asking for help. So this extremely powerful guy is asking help from this Jew. Wow, this is just strange. This is not normal, okay? Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Maybe physically suffering, definitely emotionally suffering, who knows. And Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? Alrighty. Centurion replies, Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof. Again, one in authority saying that to a Jewish man. That he doesn't deserve to come under his roof. Wow. Again, so backwards in the ways of the world. But Jesus' ways are different, of course. God's ways are different. Say the word, my servant will be healed. And this, he's demonstrating faith, right? And he also recognizes Jesus' authority. He could have just said, say it, and he'll be healed, okay? But he goes on, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes, and he gives orders to people. He's recognizing the authority in Jesus. This common rabbi? But he sees the authority that he has. Maybe he's heard the authority he has over evil spirits and the authority he has over healing and all kinds of things. I don't know, but somehow he recognizes that. Well, indeed, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him, right? It tells us that in Matthew 28, 18. So Jesus has all authority. And this man, who is one that has authority, recognizes it in someone else. He can see it in him. And he knows it. And he has faith. And it's the faith that amazed Jesus. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. It said to those following him, okay, amazed. That Jesus, God himself, was amazed. That's pretty incredible too, isn't it? Right? Wow. I've seen this thing, short video clip or something, where someone's going to tell God a joke. Hey, God, do you know about the one? Yeah, of course you know that. You know that one too. You know, you can't tell him anything he doesn't know, right? You can't. But here Jesus is amazed. Wow, to amaze God. Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. That among all the faithful Jews, and there's a lot of Jews, right? And a lot of them are faithful in the world's eyes. But he has not found that kind of faith. Alrighty. This centurion, we might add, if we go to Luke's account of it, he was one that loved the nation of Israel, and he'd even built a synagogue in Capernaum. So he was recognized by people as having a faith, and a faith in God, which is sort of strange for an outsider, much less a Roman centurion. I wonder where that came from. How did he develop that original faith in God? Did he see something? Did he hear something? Did the Holy Spirit just move in him? Somehow he had that faith. And that faith is demonstrated here, and enough faith to amaze Jesus to the point where he releases him and says, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. As you believed, as you had faith, right? A number of times when Jesus heals, he says, you know, get up. Your what has made you well? Your faith has made you well. Many times throughout the Gospels. And here again, it's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God rewards the faith, right? And you're having that deep faith and that deep devotion. It impresses God, I guess. Well, if he was amazed, yeah, it does. It's hard to impress God, okay. We could do all kinds of things. But here's the faith that he values, that he treasures, that he requires. Lord, give us faith and help us to build our faith, right? Help us to build our faith. So I wonder then, what did that servant do afterward, and what did the centurion do afterward? What's the rest of the story here? He went out back home, found his servant healed, you know, giving praise and glory and thanks to God, I'm sure, telling other people about him, and letting the servant know, hey, here's how you were healed. You've been healed by Jesus. From a distance, didn't even come and lay hands on you. From a distance, just said, let it be. So, bang. Wow. What did they go and do then? And what are we to do with our faith? Well, part of the answer lies in James, as we had read this morning, where it talks about faith and deeds, or faith and works. Our faith should show. It should show. And James goes into some detail on that here. What good is it if someone claims to have faith but no deeds? If there's no actions, no results of it, can such a faith save them? Is it real faith if there's no deeds? Now, we know we can't be saved by works. No way. You can't be saved by works. But faith will result in works. When we have that faith, when we've been changed, when we are that new creation, we can't help but to do good things. Because it's who we are and what we do at that point. It's who we are and what we do. He says, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Sort of like a tree that's not bearing fruit. A dead tree, of course, doesn't bear fruit, but a tree that's alive, a faith that's alive, is going to bear fruit, which can be a blessing to others, as fruit is, of course. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. By what we do, people should know we have faith. Just by looking at what we do, how we treat others, what we say, they should realize that we have faith. You believe there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. So if again, faith alone, even the demons have faith in God. Well, they know there's God, right? But they don't have any works, of course. No good works. Well, plenty of bad ones, okay. But no good works. And it's not out there making a difference in the world. It's not out there lifting up others. It's not out there healing others and bringing them hope, as we should be doing. And that will result from the faith, that genuine faith that we have. Alrighty? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Again, out of faith. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. Faith and actions working together, right? You can have one and you have the other, but if you don't have them both, okay, it's trying to do things one-handed. Certain things you can't do one-handed. People that have one arm, they found many, many ways to adapt. But there are certain things that would require both hands, of course. So we have to have them working together, the faith and the works. You can do the works without the faith. We can go out there and do a lot of good things for people, absolutely, but not out of faith. Maybe for the wrong reasons, even to try to earn favor with others or to look good in front of others. Who knows? But the works have to result from faith. And we can have faith without works. But they said even the demons believe they have faith, but they don't have those works, right? They're going to help others. They go hand in hand and working together. The way it says that, working together. His faith was made complete by what he did. All right, by doing things, our faith again is built, huh? Sometimes by walking the hard roads, our faith is built too. A person again is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. By what they do and not by faith alone. By following through, right? Having that faith, again, it should show in everything we do. Everything we say, our faith should show. Alrighty. Use the example of Rahab, okay? Then as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. A body without the spirit. Once the spirit has left the body, just organic matter, that's going to slowly decay. Alrighty. So body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. It's that same way. It's going to give it that life. So Lord, increase our faith that we may be a testimony to you in what we say and what we do. That people would see the results of our faith as we do good things out of thanksgiving to you and because of who we are and what we do, Lord. Again, not to earn anything, but out of thanks. Help us to live that life, Lord, to be that example to others, to be that testimony that others can be brought to faith. So as you go out there, let your faith show. Amen.